Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ball game. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Well, certainly spring in full bloom right now. Archie Miller on board as men's basketball coach. Cream Crimson ahead Thursday night at the Rock Memorial Stadium. The big dig continues in the south end zone. Hoosier Spring sports teams moving forward. Our monthly visit tonight as we go behind the scenes with Vice President, Director of Athletics, and recently signed on as President of the Crimson Squad for Thursday night's spring football wrap-up. Fred Glass joining us this evening in Hoosier Conversation, and we'll carry it on through tonight with a visit from head football coach Tom Allen, wrapping up his first spring as Hoosier football coach. Fred will have his April employee and department spotlight. Lots to really digest as we welcome you to Yogi's tonight at the corner of 10th and Indiana. We're live here as we are every Tuesday night, along with our producers Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center Studios downtown, and on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, including the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana U. Welcome on board, everyone. Fred's in the house, and my friend, Yogi's welcome. You already had a little quick dinner, so you're revved up and ready to go, and well, we got a lot to discuss tonight. Good seeing you, my friend.
Joe, thank you. Yeah, life doesn't get better than this. It's springtime in Bloomington. I just had a black bean quesadilla and a signature chicken velvet soup here at Yogi's, and I'm ready to go.
Well, you told me something about your new dip that you've, well, I don't know how new it is, but you've been using it, your quesadilla, and let's see, a little barbecue. What was that, barbecue and ranch?
No, Joe. If your listeners want a taste treat, get the quesadilla, opt out on the salsa and sour cream and opt in on barbecue sauce and blue cheese dressing, and it's a taste treat you'll never forget.
Blue cheese. Gotcha.
Well, just ask for the Fred Glass special.
Okay, we'll put it on the menu.
All right.
They keep adding things, and you know, you're craving an order. An easier way to order through the Yogi's website, yogis.com. You can download and order through their app. Text Yogi's to 33733. Well, a decision in mid-March to go a different direction, obviously, Fred, in men's basketball. A week and a half later, you bring in Archie Miller from Dayton to assume control of the basketball Hoosiers, and now we sit in April, get ready for the transition period, the hiring of his staff, and going over a number of things relevant to a transition change, but it's definitely now Miller time here in Bloomington.
Yeah, Joe, it is. And, you know, it's transitions are tough, especially when, you know, we change out somebody who's such a good man and such a good coach and done so many great things for Indiana University as Tom Crean has. I think we owe him a great debt of gratitude. You know, those first 3 years pulling us out of an awful situation that were not of his making, and he never once looked back or complained about it wasn't the job wasn't as it had been portrayed. I think that's great credit. I'm not sure there's many other people who could have pulled us out of that than Tom, with his fortitude and commitment and hard work, and had a lot of great years and brought in a lot of great players. And I feel like we do owe him a big debt of gratitude and appreciate everything he's done for us. I did conclude on a go-forward basis that we needed to make a change. It was a hard decision, but I think it was the right decision. And very pleased that we were ultimately able to get Archie Miller to come here. He'd been sought after by a lot of other programs, never really gave them the time of day, but identified him objectively. He seemed like the kind of guy we needed. Talked to a lot of basketball experts from around the state and around the country, and his reputation was impeccable. But then meeting him and seeing, you know, what you saw at the press conference, where he's very Indiana-centered. He's you know, a Midwesterner, not a Hoosier, but I think he'll wear well with Hoosiers because he has a lot of our values. I think of hard work and integrity and realness. And the kids are responding to him in a great, great way. So I'm very excited about the Miller era starting here at Indiana.
He's got a great approach, keeping the in-state kids in-state, the inside-out approach, the breadbasket. He knows where the waters are tapped into. I mean, he spent some time with Thad Mata. He knows the system around the Midwest and the neighboring states of Ohio, Illinois, and of course, Indiana, which is so vital, and that's where his efforts are going right now. I know he's knocked off a lot of shoe leather here since you hired him.
Yeah, it's really our visions are the same and our expectations are the same, and he's embracing the expectations that we have for the men's basketball program. He's running toward them, not away from them. When I charted out the vision for the search of what I thought Indiana basketball could be, it was derided in some national circles about, you know, you're living in the past and all that sort of thing. I just don't buy that.
Yeah.
I think we are basketball royalty. We are basketball blue bloods. We can be that on a more frequent basis going forward. That was the vision that I took out there, and I was thrilled to connect with Archie Miller and have him share that vision and embrace the expectations that we have for the program.
You know, I got to ask you now, a school year that began back in August, two major hires now since late November, your decisions, certainly. But the mental stress, I've got to ask you now, as you look back, you dealt with it. I've known you for 9 years. I kind of know your makeup, if you will, being a good friend, but two, somewhere along the line, I mean, this wasn't easy for Ed, and I know you've made two of the biggest moves of, your administration.
Yeah, it's not something you set out to do, Joe, and that's part of the job. I'd lots rather be at the boathouse, you know, interacting with the rowers than making a change with one of our major programs, but that's part of the deal, and so, there's no tears for me. I feel a lot worse for the families that are impacted when you make a change like that. And they were very different. I didn't set out this year thinking we'd make two changes with our power coaches in 100 days. That's hard on a department and a community and our fan base. And there are very different changes. You know, the change with Coach Wilson, Kevin Wilson, was not about what was going on with the program. I thought the program was going in the right direction. I thought the future was bright from a football perspective. But there were other issues that unexpectedly came back up that I thought had to be dealt with and the way they were dealt with. And so that was more abrupt and based upon really off-the-field concerns. Tom was the exact opposite. No off-the-field concerns, no issues. I want to make sure, you know, your listeners know there's nothing behind the curtain with that. Tom was good right down the line with character, academics, wellness, and so forth. But I felt like with 3 years left in his contract, I needed to make a decision about whether I thought he should be the coach on a go-forward basis, and I concluded not, but it was really based upon what I expected the future to be like. So very different situations, unfortunate that it happened, within 100 days. But having said that, with Tom Allen and Archie Miller, I think we're really poised to sort of take off and start a new trajectory and have two major programs of which our fans can be really proud.
Well, no question, and well said, Fred. And mentioning Coach Allen, he just dropped in here, and we'll be having conversation with the Hoosier head man, Cream Crimson, ahead. You got a special duty. We'll get to that. We want to take a break. You are now president. I don't know if you signed a contract.
I did sign a contract.
Yeah, this is high-quality stuff now, but I want to find out a little about the job description and what goes into this. When we come back with Fred Glass, we're going behind the scenes. Cream Crimson coming up Thursday at 7 o'clock. Back with more after these breaks. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Behind the scenes, Vice President Director of Athletics, Indiana U, Fred Glass. Good news from Andy Moore earlier today, the first of two Michelle Gardner's Hoosiers. The women post win number 18 on the year as they blank PU 4-0. Another game is getting ready to start here, and we have our baseball team over at Indiana State. So good things there as we continue on. Well, now I got to get back now. First of all, I know Coach has had a great night. night for one night being a commissioner of and overseeing the draft, and it was a great way to usher in the spring game. Now, I hear Anthony Thompson was inked as the president. You were inked as the president for the Crimson, Anthony with the cream. Tell us what's your gig come game night?
Well, Joe, I'm like the most senior front office executive on the Crimson team. And I think it's because of my, you know, adept ability to evaluate and secure talent. The fact that the commissioner works for me and appointed me, I think has absolutely nothing to do with that. The employer-employee relationship, I don't think, came into play. I think it was really because of my demonstrated, you know, skills as an executive.
Yes.
So, you know, we're taking this really seriously, and it's a fun thing that Tom's put together, and everybody's really enjoying it. You know, we've got drafting and free agents and, you know, tampering allegations and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so the players are really into it. The coaches are really into it. And as you know, Tom's going to run it as a real game.
Yep.
Where there's a cream team and a crimson team. And I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I hope our fans come out. The weather's supposed to be ridiculous. We're going to have stuff for the kids and food and so forth, and we'll kick off at 7:05 and hope people come out to Memorial Stadium and the East Grandstands and have some fun.
Well, I tell you what, there is one operative word, and that's free. Everything's
right,
free.
Right.
I mean, so come on out. They're going to have the Football Youth Clinic at 4:45 on Thursday. That'll start things. John Gruden's coming in with his dad. I can remember our old radio station used to be at 535 South Walnut, and directly across the street down there at the corner of First and College was a Little League diamond. Mm-hmm. And that is where John Gruden played in the Continental League. And they used to hit toward, you know, the street, which would be Walnut coming the other way. So it's going to great to see John, who grew up in this community, and of course his dad was an assistant with Lee Corso. And I see that both of them have been named honorary coaches for the game. It's going to be a great
night.
A lot
of fun,
huh?
Yep, a lot of fun.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got time for you to peek into your employee of the month, your employee, your department spotlight. I know you always enjoy doing that. We'll touch on the big dig here in a second. And again, 7:06 is kick time, and you're asked to enter now the east side of the stadium and sit right there in the east stands, because the game will be moving from south to north, starting at the 25-yard line, and it's going to be four 12-minute periods and a 10-minute halftime. But who do we crown in your as some of those hardworking people in your IU Department of Intercollegiate Athletics?
Right. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you having this feature, because it gives us an opportunity to really identify the behind-the-scenes heroes that make everything happen. And I think it's been a while since we talked about these folks. It's our event management team. Earlston Bean very capably leads that team. Davis Bolsteins and John Bauer are the other two key people there. And we at Indiana have a reputation for putting on events in a high-class, great way. I can't take credit for that. Earlston and his crew, all the red jacket folks that you know, make the princely sum of hardly anything to come and be our event staff, the folks we contract with, really creates a great game day experience. We get accolades from our visiting teams, visiting fans, the conference. You know, for example, when they were looking for a site for the Big Ten baseball tournament, because Omaha couldn't do it this year, everybody in the conference said have it at Indiana. And part of that is we got a great stadium, and part of that is we've become more known as a baseball town because of our attendance. But a lot of it is we know how to put on events. Did that with the wrestling championships here recently. So I want to thank all those folks and all that they do for these events and make us look good. It really comes down to individual people taking pride, going the extra mile, and doing that great job. And Earlston and Davis and John are just outstanding in that regard. And it's hard to pick one of the three, but I am going to pick the leader, Earlston Bean. He's very professional, dedicated, always keeps calm. You know, he's like John Glenn, you know, when his heat shield gets hot. You know, there's no movement in his blood pressure or pulse or anything. Represents us in a first-class way. snazzy dresser too. Maybe the snazziest. He and Wesley Nines. Jones and probably are 1-2 in the snazzy dresser.
Even his leisure time.
Even leisure time.
Come in here and turn heads.
Yeah, he would turn heads almost at any point in the day. So Earlston Bean is my employee in the spotlight. I want to thank everybody associated with event management for the great jobs that they do.
Well, no question about that. You know, we had mentioned a little about the new era, the Miller time with Archie now in vogue. And I know a week from tonight, big doings at Hinkey as the, what a historic way to wrap up things, the deep run into the Elite Eight, WNIT. I know the women are going to have their big shindig next Tuesday. Let's see, what is today, the 11th? It's going to be 2 weeks from tonight at Hinkey Hall of Champions, and the public is invited, and to make a reservation for the celebration, you go to iuhoosiers.com and reserve a table. Space is limited, as we know, but what a great tribute that Coach Terry, her staff, and those senior ladies did for the IU women's basketball program, Fred.
No, absolutely. And talking about being on a great trajectory, Terry's just done a great, great job with that program. And as you know, one of their hallmarks is how accessible those kids are to the community. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all your listeners and the community generally for the tremendous support they showed for the women's team. I think our attendance was just a tick below 3,000 average. And, you know, that last game with Villanova, the place was rocking and rolling. And Villanova was shooting crazy, you know, percentage, and our hats are tipped to them. But it took a ridiculous performance to knock us out of that tournament because, you know, I think we were heading toward winning that thing.
Well, we were, and still a great year, 23 wins. They set all kinds of records and career marks. And, again, we thank the women as we say goodbye to Jen Anderson, Alexis Gassian, Carly McBride, three young ladies who finished their careers as the all-time winningest class in program history. They recorded 80 W's. Well, before we leave, and mentioning, again, we talk about the what will be a little bit different. I don't think any of the fans have seen the big dig going on since the end of the year. We'll be moving from south to north in the Cream Crimson game. You've got a lovely view on how things are going. Give us an update as we kind of close down things here on how things are progressing in what has been an extremely mild winter.
Yeah, we've gotten off to a great start. Haven't hit any surprises. As many of your listeners know, we're building an Excellence Academy building. The most important part of this structure is what's going to go on inside, totally student-athlete-centered, nutrition, wellness, rehabilitation and treatment, leadership and life skills, career counseling. It's all student-athlete-centered. The outside will be cool too, Joe. It'll be a new front door facing campus. So I think create a great, great front door, a little bit in tandem with the new front door at Assembly Hall across the way, Simon Scott Assembly Hall facing the south. And then it'll create a bowl inside. We're not increasing capacity. We think the capacity is about where it ought to be. But it'll create a really terrific new venue for our football program. It'll be louder in there. I think it'll feel bigger time,
yeah,
Big Ten.
It'll hold noise.
And so I think our fans will be excited when that really debuts next football season. But, you know, come out to the spring game and see what the progress is because we're making some out there.
Well, they are indeed, and we will do that. And, again, it's free the whole entire late afternoon, early evening, 7:06, Cream Crimson. I don't have to ask a stupid question who you're rooting for.
Crimson, baby, Crimson. Crimson of the
Crimson team, guided by Mark Hagan against Mike DeBoard and the Cream and their president, Anthony Thompson. Well, good seeing you, my friend. Beautiful weather. Enjoy the rest of the spring. We'll see you in May right back here at your favorite restaurant, and go Hoosiers.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it.
Fred Glass behind the scenes, and when we come back, we'll talk football. Cream Crimson, we'll talk about Tom Allen's first full spring. When we come back, talk a little pigskin with the head coach. Cream Crimson at 7:06 on the dot Thursday. Beautiful day in store for, well, everyone listening out there to bring the families and have a night of fun. We'll catch up with the coach when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back. A beautiful Tuesday. It's going to be even prettier on Thursday night as Coach Tom Allen closes down shop on his first spring. Cream and Crimson, Fred Glass being the president of the Crimson team, guided by Mark Hagan. Mike DeBoard has the Cream team. Anthony Thompson is the president of that team. And Coach Tom and I going through what went on Sunday. You had a fun time. Now you go from commissioner of your own draft now back to your main duties as head football coach of this. But how much fun was that getting ready for this game, Tom?
I tell you, it was a ton of fun. And our coaches really got into it. You know, I divided the staff early on about a week and a half ago. And from the very beginning, it got really competitive. And you got a bunch of type A guys in one room competing for the opportunity to win this game. And it's amazing how those juices get flowing. So from the beginning, it's what shocked me was how many staff meetings they've had already. And they are taking this very seriously. But it's been a ton of fun. The players were really into it during the draft. And it's been a really neat process.
Well, you couldn't script the weather forecast any better than what's it going to be on Thursday. And, again, as we mentioned with Fred, everything is free. Starts with the youth football clinic, mm-hmm. an opportunity for a lot of the your staff members and your players to engage in an all-important, give back a little, mm-hmm. so to speak, to start the night.
It does, and that's a chance for us to, like you said, give back to our community and help some young kids develop some skills. And we'll have a bunch of alumni back helping with that. Mark Deal heads that up. And so it's just going to be a great night. We just really hope that we get a great turnout. I know the weather's going to be beautiful, and everything's going to be free. And it's just a preview of our team and just a chance for people to come see the 2017 Indiana Hoosiers.
Well, no question about it. Hashtag breakthrough in 2017. And Coach has already embodied as he served as defensive coordinator. Tom, you and I sat here about a year ago, mm-hmm. talking about your role and how you were going to go about, fixing the defense, which you did. Trust, believe, the buy-in, and now sitting as the head coach, all of those little intangibles, they're major intangibles, have transferred over to the offense as now you oversee the entire program.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, like I shared with our team in the very first time we started talking to him as the head coach, and that is those things that I believed in that we did defensively, you know, those aren't going to change. You know, to me, that's how you build a team. That's how you change a culture. That's how you create a buy-in and belief. And those things are powerful things. And so the way in which we did that on that side of the ball is the way I believe in leading the whole team. And so, you know, obviously the defense had already bought in to what we were doing. And then the offense saw those changes and how it impacted our side of the ball last year. And then the specialists were real involved because they sat through almost all of our defensive meetings. That's kind of how we set it up. And so the guys have been, to their credit, man, they've been really, really locked in. The effort during spring practices has been phenomenal. It doesn't matter what we were doing, from special teams drills to O&D work, and I just feel like that the kids are starting to understand the core concepts that we're trying to teach.
Well, you brought in five new hires mm-hmm. to your first staff since the bowl trip out in Santa Clara, all of them on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I had a chance to meet Coach DeBoard early, right after the hire in January. You two go back to the 70s, so mm-hmm. you've surrounded yourself around some high-quality men to grab a hold of positions that we'll talk about under their tutelage.
No question, you know, and it all began with Coach DeBoard, you know, and as you mentioned, I've known him for many, many years, and it goes way back to my dad and my dad's relationship with him. And I just feel like that he was a guy that I completely trusted to be able to turn the offense over to. You know, I wanted to stay in the role as a defensive coordinator, and I knew in order to do that, I had to be able to find somebody that I completely trusted that could command that room and make some adjustments that we wanted to make and build off the great foundation that's been there and the success that the previous offenses have had under Coach Wilson and his leadership. And so just felt like that he was the right guy, you know, and he's done a tremendous job. He's got tremendous energy He's so positive. He just fits me, you know, and the core values, the things I believe in, and I'm just really excited about his leadership on that side of the ball.
Tom Allen joining us, the head football coach of the Hoosiers, Cream Crimson at 7:06 on Thursday night under beautiful weather conditions. You know, we talk a little, let's stay with the offense, coach, and talk a little about Mike DeBoard's philosophy. I can remember back when he was coordinator at Michigan. He coached Mike Hart, who's now on your staff. We'll get to that in a second, but that being said, they put up a lot of points last year at Tennessee, but their percentage of scoring was number one in the SEC. But then, two, he ran a little spread at Michigan during the day. What kind of offense are we seeing now with his and how he's incorporated things here in the spring?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I definitely believe in the core principles of the things that we've done in the past, you know, and just as we've talked and different things that we do offensively.
Sure.
Yeah, I believe in tempo offense, you know, and that's not going to change. I believe in running the football. I think that's where it all begins for us. But we want to stretch the field, and we want to be able to take advantage of our explosive receivers. So, to me, it's about balance. You know, you can talk about a lot of different things, and I always look at everything from a defensive perspective in regards to what gives us difficulty, what puts us in the most conflicts, what makes it the hardest on us defensively to be able to either get off the field or, you know, have success on Saturdays. And so the combination of the tempo and the ability to be able to be effective in both the run game and the pass game and the play action off all of that, you know, is really what we believe. And, you know, Coach DeBoard fits with all that. And, you know, we're going to be obviously not showing everything, you know, here.
Sure.
Thursday night, we got a lot to be able to say for our opener in August. But the bottom line is that the core of what we do has been established this spring, and it just comes down to players believing in what you're doing and executing the system. And, you know, we talk about three things on offense. We're going to protect the football, create explosive plays, and play with tremendous tempo. And that, to me, is what we want, and that's what we're going to build this thing off of, and our guys have bought into that.
Yeah, I know you told us that one coveted word, and it was emblazoned from the first time I met you, defensively, takeaways.
Yeah.
And, you know, get to the ball, and here it's score points.
That's
right. Yards are neat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I deal with stats, as you know, and everything like that. But that being said, that establishes the W on game day.
It does.
You taking away and producing.
That is. There's no question. And so, you know, defensively, you know, we want to take the ball from the offense. You know, one of our primary objectives offensively is to protect the football. You know, we struggled in that area, you know, a year ago, and that's something that we have been addressing all through spring, and even into the end of the bowl game was where it started. But you're right. It comes down to scoring points. I mean, you can – and that's one thing. You know, when I looked at Coach DeBoard's offense at Tennessee, they were extremely effective in the red zone, scoring touchdowns, and as good as they, you know, there was in the SEC at that, and that's what it comes down to. And it's you know, even defensively, you know, the takeaway piece is huge, but there's only one stat other than takeaways that matters, and that's how many points you give up in a game on defense. And so we got to keep teams out of the end zone. And if you force them to kick field goals, then you're going to have a great shot of beating them, and that's what we want to do.
Well, we talk about coaches' philosophies of trust and belief and buy-in, and I think we've seen that on the offensive side, as he alluded to just a second ago. That being said, the centerpiece, obviously, is the man that's going to run your offense, and that's Richard Lego. Mm-hmm. Had his ups, had his downs, and here he is settling in. And I guess consistency probably would be the word that you're trying to see out of him the rest of the spring and on into the fall.
It is, and that's a position that, you know, is highly critiqued. You know, it's highly praised when things go well. It's highly criticized when things don't. And, you know, he, from knowing last season and how things transpired for him, you know, as well as he played at times, not protecting the football, really hurt us at other times. And being consistently, you know, effective is what that position demands. In decision-making and leadership, you know, I really challenge him a lot. I say this to our whole team, but it really applies to him, you know, predominantly, and that is having, you know, earmuffs and blinders. You know, he's got to be able to block out the noise, you know, block out the negativity, block out the compliments, block out all that that's going on, and have laser focus about the job and the task at hand and the core confidence that he has to be able to make those plays in critical situations and, you know, at the end of the game, end of the half, you know, during the game and putting our offense in position to score points, as you said. And so that's the one guy that runs it. And obviously we got other guys competing with him. Got a freshman coming in as well, but he's separated himself, I thought, this spring. and has continued to develop. And he's really, at this point, I believe, is entering with a ton of confidence and really has taken on a much stronger leadership role on our team, which I knew he needed to do. We challenged him, but with that, he's responded in a big way.
And you know, mentioning Coach DeBoard and his offensive system, right spot, right time. And, you know, I know Richard has worked on his mobility. Mm-hmm. This seems like a nice fit, this offense and Lego's development.
I think so, you know, and that's obviously we have to be able to build things around what our guys can do, you know, and that's what good coaches do. And, yeah, we have a system and things that we do, but we're trying to match those to the skill set of the guys on our football team and the ones that are here now. And so, you know, the bottom line is that it's a team game, you know, in all three phases. You know, offense, defense, and special teams are huge. And offense has got to continue to score points like we have, but protect the football is the next big step for us to be able to elevate.
And Nick Sheridan, you brought in from Michigan, a Michigan alum who, you know, did his share of quarterbacking. He's the quarterback's coach. How has he kind of blended into the – and how's his transition gone, Coach?
It's gone really well. You know, he's just such a quality person, you know, extremely bright. When I first contacted Coach DeBoard, you know, that's who he wanted. You know, he mentioned him right away, and that it didn't happen until later. You know, Coach Watson was already here, and that worked out great at the time. And obviously he had a great opportunity to go be an OC at Pitt, and we were excited for him to have that opportunity and wished him well. But the chance to get Nick here was a very, very good thing for Coach DeBoard and his comfort level with, you know, when they were at Tennessee together, he was his quarterback's coach. So a very natural, you know, extension of Coach DeBoard and all that we're doing offensively. And they've worked, you know, several years together there and did a great job developing that quarterback, you know, and a guy that that I recruited when I was at a previous school and knew Josh well. And they did a great job in his development. So, to me, that was another step, another sign for me to see, you know, the things I needed to see as the head coach to know, hey, these are guys we're bringing in here that are going to be able to help us develop players and compete at a high level.
No question. And, you know, we talk about another new hire, and that's Mike Hart, and I'm glad he finally is shifted away from the maize and blue. And I can remember a couple of afternoons, made him rather long on the Hoosiers back in the day when he probably was as durable a back with his yards and touchdowns in DeBoard's offense back then. But here's Mike inheriting, and I mean, it's not like the cupboard spare in that RB department. Talk about it, Tom.
It's not. You know, it's a group that there's several guys that are competing for playing time, and it's a highly competitive room, which it should be. And, you know, Cole Guest is really kind of guy I thought that really, you know, separated himself this spring and had a great spring, running the ball hard and just got to keep him healthy.
Yeah.
And Mike Majette, who was injured during the season a little bit, came back here in spring, wasn't able to get all the reps because of coming back from that injury, but was promising what we saw. And you know, Ricky Brooklyn's the guy that played really well in the bowl game and played well in spurts and did some great things for us. And there's several guys. You know, Camion's a guy who we haven't got back yet, isn't going to play this week, didn't practice this spring, but should be ready to go full bore for the fall. You know, so just continuous guys there. Tyler Nati, another guy who's had an injury for his knee that did not practice this spring, won't be playing either. We actually kind of dinged up in that room. We only got about three or four guys
I noticed that
are going to be playing, you know. But even Cole, you know, did a great job, but got dinged up at the very end. But the key for us is those guys will be ready for fall camp, and it's going to be a very, very talented room that I'm excited about.
Well, another guy, and we mentioned opening the holes for those RBs and protecting Lego and the rest of the quarterbacks, the offensive line. And, again, we're looking at a coach, a veteran coach, and Darren Hiller is your run game coordinator as well as your offensive line coach and another new hire. And I liked his concept of, you know what I'm doing? I'm coming in, and the slate is clean. And you know, if you move up the depth chart, you've done it on merit, you've done it on hard work and work ethic.
There's no question, you know, and we got a core of guys back on our offensive line, and Coach Hiller and I worked together at Arkansas State, you know, in the past, and he's just a great developer of that position and has done it consistently every place he's been and has produced at a very high level, especially the last two stops and top 10 in the country in running the football, total offense, and just doing a great job protecting the quarterback. So that room is full of guys that are just tough, hard-nosed young men that are really excited about them. You know, it's a really quality group still young, not a lot of even seniors in that group, and just really, really excited. Just got to have some younger guys step up to give us some quality depth, which you always are going to need in this league and at this level. And so it's just a matter of us continuing to work every single day to get that group better.
No question. And two, we look at the other assistant that was hired on the offensive side of the ball, and you mentioned Simi Cobbs, and it's great having him back. Nick Westbrook, of course, has been held out, but there, I know Coach Hurd is one on length, height, and you got some guys that could outleap the other defenders in the secondary and pull in those six-pointers, Coach. Talk a little about the wide receiving department.
You know, we do, and, you know, Coach Hurd, you know, once again, is another guy. This is actually our fourth stop together, you know, so we've spent a lot of time. And just know that, you know, I think he's, you know, the best receivers coach in the country. I really do. And just the accountability that he brings, and the teaching, the understanding of his position, played the position at a high, high level. And he just commands that kind of respect from them. And so, you know, having Simi back is huge. I knew last year when he went down that was a devastating loss for our team. And it really hurt us, you know, and we didn't, you know, Nick stepped up and had a great season, you know, and he hasn't been, you know, he's been able to go a little bit this spring, and he'll be fine.
Okay.
Actually, probably here in a couple of weeks, he'd probably be 100%, but there's no reason to do anything to hinder that. So he's not going to be playing on Thursday night, but Simi is, and has had a really good spring, getting himself back to not quite 100%, but getting close, you know, and Donovan Hale's another guy that is a big body guy that we have high expectations for, needs to step up. Taysier Max, one that you're going to get a chance to see, that young guy, came in as a freshman this past season, and is now going to be in a role that I see him really elevating. Isaac James, another guy, is a very explosive player that really needs to step up, and he will. And I just think that, you know, Luke Timmy is another guy that had some hamstring injury throughout the season, and got to get him 100%. But great ball skills. That I think as a group, this unit can be the strength of our team when we get them all healthy, get them ready to roll, and with a great leadership of Coach Hurd, I have high expectations for our receiver corps.
Keep hold of the ball and score points.
That's right.
A glance at the offense, and I know your favorite part of all of this, and as I say, a year ago, Tom, you sat right next to me here, and we talked about the defensive turnaround, and you took a football team that was fledgling along nationally, well below the 100, barrier of teams. I think it was as high as 121 or as low as 121. You brought it back up to respectability with, again, the energy, the focus. And I remember what you told me a year ago. Bring it to me every day with that energy and focus. And, boy, did they buy in. And that focus is right there. And you've got some high-quality defensive folks ready to improve on what you did last year.
You know, we do, and it's exciting, you know.
Gotta be.
I'm so proud of our kids for the way they bought in, because, you know, that's a choice that they made. You know, yeah, we challenged them, and we presented in a way that I believe they would buy in, but at the end of the day, they have to make that choice. And so, you know, the one thing that I always will tell our guys is that they control 100% their attitude and their effort. And that, to me, is non-negotiable. So if you choose not to have a great attitude and play with tremendous effort and have enthusiasm every single day, then you're wrong. And I'm not going to allow them to function that way. And they won't play for us if that's how they're going to be. And so you set that standard. You establish how you're going to practice. You establish how you're going to do things. And you're relentless until you get what you want. And we still don't have what we want. So we're going to keep attacking that way. We're going to keep coaching that way. We're going to keep demanding it that way. And so proud of our guys. We definitely have made tremendous strides. Not where we want to be, but proud of the foundation that was laid, and commend our guys for that. But we can't even remotely think that we've done anything yet, because we haven't.
Well, and I was kidding the president of the Crimson team, your boss, Fred Glass, earlier tonight about the fact that I look at this roster, these rosters on paper here, and three high-quality defensive players are all in the Crimson team of Mark Hagans. You and I talked a little about Marcelino Ball. You told me about Greg Gooch's leadership, and also Khalil Bryant, who used to have a name, but now we call him KB.
KB.
Talk about those three impact players, Tom.
Yeah, I just think that you take, you know, Marcelino to start with. What a special player, you know, and awesome young man that we really thought was going to be special when we recruited him. But you never know until they come and actually do it. But made so many plays for us, played so hard, so bought into all the little things we asked him to do. But he was a freshman, he made mistakes at times, and sometimes he got picked on. But he's elevated his game. He's gotten bigger, faster, stronger, more knowledge of the defense and more leadership. So excited about that. Greg Gooch, I tell you, he's elevated his leadership in a huge way. He and T. Gray Scales, throughout all the off season, they were the energy in the weight room, and we did conditioning, we did all of our training. They stuck out, and they took the ownership and leadership of this defense and this team and put it on their back, which is huge. And then you got a guy like Khalil Bryant, who, to be honest with you, at times last year struggled, and he was a true freshman and didn't always know what he was doing, and he probably got a lot of grief at practice for not making either the right reads or right plays or whatever he was doing. He was making a lot of mistakes, and he got a lot of practice reps, but we really never trusted him enough to put him in the game, and had to kind of play with just a couple guys back there. But I tell you what, he has been, a tremendously improved player, almost like a different person. Matter of fact, as we said, he had a nickname before, and now he's graduated from that nickname to now KB. And he's earned that, and so we have a little fun with that. But the bottom line is he's a different kid when you watch him play. So really excited for him and anxious to have an opportunity to see him showcase that tomorrow night.
And we mentioned while you were in the process of developing your thoughts and processes a year ago as defensive coordinator, you really don't know until the lights go on, until the first game. And you alluded to Marcelino Ball. A'shaun Riggins is another kid that played a lot of football for you, and you don't know until you. But that being said, when you went out and your recruiting trail. Mm-hmm. First bowl in 9 years, very competitive game, had our opportunities win, didn't, but you hit the recruiting trail, and who are some of the key defensive pieces that might find their way in? Because you come, you play.
You do. And that's the thing, and you sell that when you're out recruiting, and the opportunity to come in and compete to play is big. And, I'll start with an in-state guy, Bryant Fitzgerald, we call him Fitzy, Fitz from Avon High School there in Indiana, and that I think is a great football player, there's no doubt. I think arguably he's could have been the best player in the whole state, and in terms of just raw, when you watch him play, he could play offense, defense, special teams, it didn't matter. He was dynamic in all three of those phases, and so he's a guy that's in the secondary that is going to have a great chance to come in and compete. To give us tremendous depth and play on special teams, play on defense, and help us. And LaShawn Miner's another in-state guy that I have a lot of high hopes for. He's a defensive lineman and big, strong athlete. Played basketball up until this year at Ben Davis, and just really excited about his size and speed and his explosiveness. When you watch all of our guys on film that we signed, I felt like his film was the best in terms of just the most explosive, most dynamic guy of our entire team was LaShawn. And so, I've challenged him about coming into this summer when he reports to being ready to come to play, and come to compete to play. And so, there's several guys, and then you also have, a guy that we recruited from Florida, Juwan Burgess is a guy that I'm really excited about, and he has to take care of business in the classroom, some things. But he's a big-time player. And Walt Filliard is a guy that his teammate as well. And just explosive-type guys that are dynamic and great playmakers. And those kind of guys come to mind.
Well, it's been great talking Pigskin with you again, Tom. And before we leave, we got about a minute. Cream Crimson, who do you like? You favor one side or the other? Or let me put it to you this way. What are you looking for come Thursday night under beautiful weather conditions to wrap it all up?
Yeah, I'd say for me, I want our guys to play extremely hard. I want us to be crisp. I want it to be clean. I want it to be sharp. I want our guys to have great bursts on both sides of the football. I want them to compete with each other and be physical and to have a ton of fun. Obviously I'd like to, I say I want to see points scored, but as a defensive coach, not too many, but we are going to do some things in between the quarters. The kickers are going to kick.
Okay.
And that's going to allow them to be able to show their worth and their value to the game. There'll be normal field goals within the game as well, but we're going to set aside to have 8 additional kicks by all those guys to be able to give points towards their team and show why they were drafted or were selected as a free agent.
Well, we know one thing. The team with the most points will eat steak, and loser will have hot dogs, and those folks will serve the steak. So it's going to be a great wind-up to the spring. Tom, best to you, and we'll see you before the season starts, obviously, when we get a feel really for 2017, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. LEO.
Tom Allen joining us, talking football, Indiana University Hoosiers style. Cream Crimson 706 from the Rock Memorial Stadium. Back to close it out, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, our thanks to Fred Glass behind the scenes, head football coach Tom Allen, our employee of the week here at Yogi's, Trenton Dunham. And we have Reds baseball coming up here in just a few moments. Ricky Jones toned the rubber as they play Pittsburgh with a 5-2 mark at PNC Park. Purdue and Indiana won the first game. The women 4-0, no score. Indiana State bottom 4 over in Terre Haute. For our producer Will Boatman, Joanna and Mike Lascott here in Yogi's, you've been listening to Newton Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We'll see you next Tuesday night from Yogi's. Good night, everyone.